Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Pat.
The fear of the Lord, man. The fear of the Lord. In just a moment, we're going to be hearing a segment about the fear of the Lord. But, you know, what's God speaking to you about the fear of God?
That's very important. Very important. It's a good sign of where you are personally with your walk with Him in regards to your love for Him and your obedience to Him and where you are relationally. I mean, it's just when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, you know, you're careful about everything you do, everything you say, what you're thinking, what you're touching, what you're everything. It's just everything.
Because you're aware His eyes are on you.
Exactly.
Not that they weren't before, but there was no fear.
Now there's this...
Awareness.
Awareness, that's the word I'm looking for. And there's consequences when you don't have that fear of the Lord. I just got through reading a part in this book I'm reading with Jim Baker when John Bevere went and visited him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was still in prison at the time when this happened.
He was later released and the charges were dropped.
Mm-hmm. And Jim came to the realization that he had no fear of God. And obviously there was consequences because that's how he ended up where he was. But then, you know, once he got released, you know, he says he knew that if he had kept on the path he was going, regardless of all the signs and wonders and all the ministry and all that stuff, he knew he was going to hell.
Right.
So it was a huge wake-up call. This is Jim Baker.
Praise the Lord. UTL fan club and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
which has been redeemed,
by
Morningstar Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
When I can't imagine King David, not having a fear of God,
right?
You know, but you had Saul, King Saul. He had a fear of man, but not a fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the two and compare them, that it's not that either one of them were perfect. Is they dealt with their insecurities and inadequacies differently, or their sin differently, where Saul would just build bigger edifices and bigger statues to himself, and he would take over things he shouldn't have taken over and do things he shouldn't do, trying to preserve himself and protect himself. He feared everything, and he was even shaking behind the luggage when he was made king, you know, his knees were knocking. But David would fear the Lord, and you would hear him. You can just see, he's just like, he says, you know, against you and you only have I sinned, God, before your eyes. Lord, you see, and he's constantly having this awareness of God. And he just understood, don't lay your hands on God's anointed, because it's God's anointed. Mm-hmm. Not that Saul didn't deserve his hands laid on him. He knew that God had anointed him as king. Therefore, because he had a fear of the Lord. And it's amazing. I mean, but we all can use more, I guess, the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're like, is there any fear of the Lord? And that's what, you know, this is, you got to hear this. These are a group of ministers that are talking about how the church has lost the fear of the Lord. Listen up. Holy desperation.
God, oh beloved, because God says to this man, will I
tremble at your word. Let us tremble this morning.
If ever there was a time that you and I fully embraced the heart of God and the will of God and the ways of God and the word of God, oh beloved, it's now. There was a time in this country when I'm sure you would walk in the house of the Lord, and if you were living in willful sin, you would tremble. In awe, there was a reverence of God. There was a sense of God's holiness.
There's very little of the fear of God among today's Christians.
And I want to tell you, God is no grandfather. He's not one who just ignores anything you do, like grandfathers do. What did we read in 1 Peter 1? Spend your entire life on earth. This is not Old Testament. This is New Testament. This is the Apostle Peter writing 30 years after the day of Pentecost. spend your entire life on earth in fear. The same word. I'm supposed to live my entire life on earth, 1 Peter 1:17, in fear. In fear of what? In fear of God.
1 Peter 1:17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, then conduct yourselves in fear during this time of your stay on earth.
But there was a trembling. There was a time in this country when you walked in the house of God and you knew if you were living in sin, you were going to be confronted.
Paul speaks in Romans 11 about the severity and the goodness of God. In what connection? In his dealing with this ancient people. There's no fear in the church for God. The fear of God is absent from the church, and that's why we take the horrendous liberties that we do. For how shall we fear him if we have not known his severity, his judgments, his dealings, how far he will go, even with his own ancient people who are yet the apple of his eye despite their fallenness?
Even in the church, we've lost our sense of the holiness of God. You know, Charles Wesley gave us that lovely children's hymn, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon the little child." But you know, some people never get past gentle Jesus.
Has lost the fear of God. There's no fear of God left in the land. This is what the Bible says. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from their evil. From the fear of the Lord.
A reverent fear of God, which brings freedom. And it's because many Christians do not have that reverent fear of God that they don't come into freedom.
Call it what you want, reverential awe. Call it what you want. But there's such a thing as remember that God is not mocked. There's such a thing as looking at the majesty and holiness of God.
But a one-sided Christianity, which always spoke about, always be sure you're accepted before God. God loves you, brother. Don't be, remember God loves you just as you are. His love is unconditional. It's all true. But if you only look at that, you've got one side of God, and you've got a one-sided God, and you'll see the end result of that in the way you live. The other is the fear that I may hurt God.
There is no awe, no sense of fear, no deep respect that he's a living God and a seeing and a knowing God. And we can't get away with our little gitchy goo and cutting corners as if he does not observe it.
It's a very different picture in the Word of God. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ needs a new revelation of the majesty of God.
The remarkable thing is, he lets it go on, and he's silent, and we assume that either he has condoned it or he's not seen it until the day comes.
Genesis 20 verse 10, and Abraham said, verse 11, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place and they will kill me because of my wife. There is no fear of God. These fellows are sexually, you know, polluted. It's interesting that the first time the Holy Spirit uses the phrase the fear of God is in relation to sexual sin. As I meditated on it, the Lord showed me that it is through sexual temptation, more than in any other area, that I test whether men especially fear me or not.
You will one day stand before that throne, and you will be judged before that throne in perfect righteousness.
We're not like Paul, who always lived in the conscious sense of the judge and the day of judgment, and that we shall be held accountable for every idle word that we speak, and that all that we have done in our bodies, both good and bad, will one day come before us when we stand before the judgment of God.
Folks, what's it going to be like? And I've tried to imagine this. What is it going to be like when we stand before the throne? Every pastor, every evangelist, when I stand there, everyone in this pulpit stands there, and everyone who's ever taken the gospel to their lips. And we stand before a holy Christ, and the books are opened. I can't bear the thought that I would have preached for 20 years here in New York City from this pulpit, and that to keep the money flowing, or to keep the crowds coming and every seat filled, that I should give a half gospel or dilute it so I won't offend you.
In Jeremiah's day, the false prophets had the biggest crowds. The true prophet could hardly get folks together. In Jeremiah's day, the thing that was so heavy on his heart was the false prophets told the people what they wanted to hear, and the people naturally flocked. And when he would start to prophesy the true word of the Lord, the people said, "Would you get this guy to shut up? Could somebody take care of this guy? We don't want to hear this anymore."
And you see, if you have no fear of God, you have to invent a gospel of convenience.
There's all kinds of phony people now, of huge followings. You just turn on some of the Christian television, it's enough to make you sick. And they got people writing checks all over the whole country for them. And they're not even close. But because of the biblical illiteracy among the people, they don't know the genuine from the false, because only through knowing God's word are we going to know what's true. Amen?
And this is what's happened in America and around the world. You see, man can't get away from that nagging sense. And that's the Holy Spirit who says there's death and then there's judgment. There's a day of standing before God to give an account. And the Bible makes it very, very clear. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And there's a day we're going to have to give an account. And there's a hell. And Jesus said there's a hell of fire. And weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, a darkness that can be felt.
A lot of us share God's word here and there. Paul says how he preached. He says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 3, "When I came preaching to you, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in trembling." Preaching with fear and trembling? Where do we hear of that today? People who preach afraid lest they may say something God doesn't want them to say.
I've heard so many preachers say God doesn't throw anybody into hell. My dear friend, he does. Jesus told us that he does. Fear him who not only can kill the body, but afterwards take your body and your soul and throw you in hell. It is God who throws in hell. You say, "Well, I just don't like this kind of Christianity." I'm sorry. It's the only one that you've got.
It's the word of God. This is the, when you think about how 81% of professing Christians aren't reading the word, how do you know what God expects? And his expectation is a fear of him. A fear of the Lord. There was a day in the church that people feared coming amongst them. When there's a fear of the Lord present in your gathering, in your life, people just don't do things around you. They don't do things in your presence. I mean, we've seen, you know, because God will, his presence will dwell where there is a fear of the Lord there. And he deals with those whose heart are not right, who bring that sin. You know, and then you think about it, when the fear, with fear and trembling needs to be present in our life, everything, you know, just like you were saying, Pat, and that, and what they were saying, when Ananias and Sapphira fell dead, it says that the fear of the Lord spread and the church grew. Mm-hmm. Listen, the best kingdom advancing, church growing method you could ever have is to get a fear of God in your life. Now, you can grow all kinds of religious things with tickling your teachings and, you know, selling people salvation and promoting a program.
Right.
But when you begin to teach the fear of God, the beginning of wisdom, So often tragedy would happen to someone in open sin or to a nation in open sin, and the fear of the Lord would spread, and the church would repent, and the church would grow. I mean, Paul, like he said, would preach with fear and trembling. Some people, some things people do and say, you're thinking like, you have no idea the eyes of the Lord are upon you. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, I wouldn't take that for that particular person. It's like, I'm not even thinking about that particular person. I'm thinking about God's eyes on me
right
now. I need to respond in the fear of the Lord. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't look to America right now for the fear of the Lord. Look to the Word of God. Look to men and women who love God and are going after Him, who abide with Him, who have, they don't need fences in their life because they have fear, a fear of the Lord. And I think it's really good to have fences around children, you know, who can't control themselves, who have no fear because they're going to get destroyed, get killed.
Right.
You know, and, but it's time. If we want this nation to turn around, if we want a move of God, if we want to see God move amongst the nation the way we're seeing Him move in pockets of the nation, it's going to require us to do the very first thing. Wisdom begins with a fear of the Lord. It's time for fear and trembling to come into our hearts again. Lord, strike our heart with the lightning and thunders that come from Your throne room. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.